on the Inyanim of the Machzik Torah and how it affects Chinuch and her children and how it affects all the rest of things. But the Gemara discusses over here the concept of not giving the tuma to a Kohen Ha'aretz. And the Gemara explains that those who are Yesh Leimonas, the Lashon is, just to refresh our memory, Kol Ha'machzik B'Torah Hashem Yesh Leimonas, V'Shein Ha'machzik B'Torah Hashem Ein Leimonas. So, again, this is part of the Gemara to explain why we don't have a riot at this is Tchias HaMesim over here in our Torah. The reason why you had to bring it down like this is to tell us that just like Aaron HaKohen was a Chaver Tamachacham, so to his children, when you're going to give them, you have to give it to a Tamachacham. You should not give the Tumah to a Kohen that's an Amoret, because he might eat it with Tumah. Right, Tumah. And the problem is, if he's going to eat it with Tumah, there's a problem, he's Chayv Misa, he carries with himself an iniquity, it's an Avoin. And we'll discuss that also, the Inyan of Lifnei Iver, we'll get to that. But let's just talk about the concept of Kol Ha'machzik Torah. So, just because of Marsha, quick Chazorah, Marsha says, I'll just read it again quickly. Marsha's Lashon is, Kol Ha'machzik B'Torah Nuli Farish. The man Yechizku Koi Ala Nisin Amonu Kedir Hashem Chazal Yitzchayim L'Machzikim Bo L'Iskim Bo L'Nemar El L'Machzikim. It says that Yitzchayim He L'Machzikim, they're the ones who are Machzik Torah. Ha'ainu Ha'Messayim Machzikim L'Torah V'Nisin L'Loim De Torah. Someone who is Machzik Torah means he gives to people that are learning Torah in order to help that they can continue learning Torah. In order that they should be able to continue. So he goes and he has a chilek in it. And we were discussing, so let's talk about how the Chafetz Chaim portrays this concept. Now I can tell you that it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing on both sides of the equation. You have the person coming on behalf of the yeshiva or on behalf of the Talmud Chacham. He has to go collect it. So where does he go collecting? He goes collecting by the people who have money to give. He doesn't go to the people who don't have. It's a hard thing to do. On the other hand, the receiving end, the person who's giving, he might have more than one person knock on his door in any given half hour. And what ends up happening is that it discombobulates his day. He doesn't have a seder because people are constantly coming. And he doesn't have, do I give this one, do I give that one? What ends up happening is, it not always do the people come and collect know the situation of the person sitting there, and not always does the person sitting there really understand and feel the situation of the person coming. So you have a dynamic which has built in an automatic problem. And that's what makes it so challenging on both ends. It's challenging on the person going around to get it. It's challenging on the receiving and the person giving to just to be able to handle. So the Chafetz Chaim gives us a little insight into understanding what does it mean, the Gemara over here, what the Marsha means. And the Marsha says that this is the Yesod of Kol Ha'machzik. He says a lesson like this. This we said last week, but he explains it a little bit more. We ran out of time. That Zebul L'Chayv Yamim. It says that Yizvulin got the bracha before Yisachar. And the reason why it's brought down in the Medrash is because since he was being Machzik Torah, so he was written first. And the obvious question, L'chayra, is I understand that maybe you want to give the person who's giving the support the reward of the person who's learning the Torah. But how could you write him first? He definitely isn't better. Yes, he is enabling. But Harbei Shluchim L'Makim, and Hashem is not chaser ways to get people money. And if he wanted to find another way to give it, he'd give it a different way. I mean, I remember once, years and years ago, when Chaim Pichas Sharma was asking for money from somebody. He says, "Well, you're not doing me a favor. There's so many people out there that want a chelik in this. I'm giving you a schus." That's how he said it. He once said it by a dinner. And the truth of the matter is that you can't go and write his name first if he was, he's not better. You want to maybe even plateau. That's a big machloikis. And a lot of the poskim, I know if Pam has a very big stickler, if Pam says that even though he's getting a lot of schusim, but he's not really on the same level. As much as you want to say he's really not. Because he didn't work on the learning himself. Someone who comes for a shir and they learn a half hour, then they go and they give a little tzedakah, or they give a lot of tzedakah. You know, that half hour learning rates much more than what they did. Now, of course, you need everything. When you want to come to HaKadosh Baruch, you want to come, you don't put all your eggs in the same basket. So you want to get all your schusim. But at the end of the day, the one learning the Torah, the one who's involved in learning, is definitely on a different level. So how could the Pasuk go and tell us Zvulun L'Chayv Yamim, write him first because he supported. So the Chavetz Chaim explains, in Ratzel Loimar, it says in the Lashon, Achiloi V'Noisim Lo Yitoich Piv, Ratzel Loimar, Shalo Hoya Tzorach Yisach L'Vakesh Mizvulun HaMazay Neisar. Now this is amazing. He didn't, Yisach did not have to go and even ask. What Zvulun did was, before he cut up his mail, he right away first set up the Yisachar and he gave it to him first. He wasn't just, okay, I'll give you, I'll take care of you, and when you need, come ask. And it was even more than that. It wasn't even that he gave it to Yisachar without him asking. He gave him first. He gave him his chel. And after he set him up shop, then he took care of himself. And that's a tremendous thing. And now we understand a little bit why his name is written first. He wasn't approached by Yisrael, he took on himself. That means, can you imagine what the scene would be like if the yeshiva was coming collecting for his yeshiva, and before he got out of his house, one gvir came, knocked on the door. You probably were going to get to me eventually, say, here's your money. And then he closed the door, he's about to pick up his suitcase, and he knocks on the door. And all 300 people that he planned on going to see knocked on his door. That would be an amazing sight. I definitely would not, you know, bet any money on that happening, because you'll lose your money. You know, having been involved and still involved constantly in fundraising for yeshiva, it doesn't happen. And then take it one step further. Every year I go to California. I have to fundraise. I make a Apollo meeting. I meet with different people. I spend a few days of real avodas parah. Now, can you imagine, let's say a guy has to go collecting for his yeshiva, or he's a tamchal, he sits and learns, and someone's going collecting on his behalf. Can you imagine that not only did the people in his neighborhood that he's going to go around collecting from come knock on his door before you, but all the people get on airplanes and fly over the hip and knock on his door and say, "Yeah, I know you are going to come. This is the time of year when you come out to me. So I decided to save a trip. I'll come to you." I mean, forget about it. It's not no sheikhs. It's not going to happen. I guarantee you it's not going to happen. And yet, this is what Zvulun did. This is what he did. Now try to understand that. Try to understand that concept. Just use it here. The guy comes from B'nai Brak. He's got himself a big beard, and you could tell these guys really into collecting for Abunovich, something. He's collecting for some yeshiva you've heard of. Forget about it if he's coming for a place you didn't hear. He's got a place you heard of. Can you imagine? Why didn't you think of getting on the 497, going yourself, knocking on the door, saying, "You have a yeshiva, probably you're going to come to Rabbi Shemesh sooner or later, so I'm saving you the trip." Because it doesn't even enter. I do have it. We're hoping that maybe when he knocks on that door, I'm not home that day. Or if it's the fifth guy that came, I don't even answer the door sometimes. And yet, it's a pillow. It's a pillow. This is what is needed if you want to get onto the playing field of what the real Yisachar Zvulun kind of setup is. This is what the Marsha means on this Gemara. Aniyas Daiti, called Mazik Torah, it doesn't mean you just do a guy a favor. You know, the famous Maizel with the Bonavitcher Rav, how true it is, I don't know. I wasn't there. but everybody says it. So it definitely sends a good message that he came collecting by a real gvir, and the guy was a soinik. He was very pro the state and pro everything, but then he was against him. He didn't like the Haredish way he was running his place, and he told him he'll give him a certain amount of money, tremendous amount of money in those days. But he says on the condition that your Talmidim don't wear yarmulkes. So he told the Panovit Yerov, and the Panovit Yerov said, deal. And he signed a star with Adam. And the guy said, no problem. So he understands that the Schirich even for people that don't wear yarmulkes. So I'm finally making headway with this rabbi. And the guy left really proud of himself. And the Panovit Yerov went, took the $1 million that he got, and he opened up a Beishakov. And that is the Beishakov in Bnei Brak today. And the Maisa, that's how he worked. This was the point. Now, that's not Yisrael's rule. So you got to come pleading and outsmart the guy who's giving you the money. That's definitely not what it meant. You know, the part of it's rough was given money by somebody, and he chased him. And then finally, the person gave him money, a tremendous amount of money. It was equivalent to what, $50,000. This is going back many, many years ago. Tremendous amount of money. And the Panovitcherov kept going into the bank to cash the check, but it was always short. There was 35, there was 42, 45, 43. Finally, Panovitcherov took $10,000 cash, he put it into the guy's account, he cashed the check. And that was $53,000. He had $50,000. Now, the Panovitcherov was able to do these kinds of things, but that was not the way Zevulun was supposed to deal. He thought he was going to get the Panovit Yerov because I gave it for him and he can't use it. Panovit Yerov had the last lift. He used it already. But it was with a chop. Everything's with a chop. Why isn't Zevulun coming and knocking at everybody's door? So I think the answer is the famous Maisa with Yaakov and Esav. We know that Yaakov went back for his Pachim Ketanim, and he got into a fight with the Sarish Shal Esav, and it says, Vayavik Yishimoi, and the dust the Medrash brings down reached until the Shemayim, Vayiga Bekaf Yirechoi, and Rutzalei Al Yirechoi, Yaakov Avinu won at the end, but he was limping. That means the leg was dislocated by the Gira Nosha. Something happened over there that weakened his ability to have that same koyach. His leg didn't support him the same way. And the Zoya and Mepharshim bring down, but that is a simon that until Mashiach is going to come, Torah, which is what Yaakov Avinu signified, you know, was the symbol of, is always going to have a problem in its support. The support is always limping. And that is the reason why the Mepharshim bring down that there's a concept of being Machzik Torah is not an easy thing to do. There's always going to be the Yetzer Hara trying to get his way in there to make it difficult. So I just want to throw out an idea for all of us to absorb based on this Gemara. And Rav Shisha Pinkus says it very, very well, that if we want to combat this in our life, we have to view it ishiistic. We have to view it personally. Now, you know, it's funny, the Rav spoke a few weeks ago when he was involved in trying to get the Olam to come to the Mlava Malka. So he poked fun, and rightly so, at the invitations that get hung up that no liroi hazmona zeki ishiist. Remember the Rav spoke on Shabbos and he said this concept of, if it was ishiist, you would have handed me one. Don't hang one up on the wall and say, but that's when you're doing a business with a business deal with a partner. You don't send a message to three people that, oh, he's also supposed to come. No. You make sure to get him a personal invitation, because if he doesn't show up at the table, he can't start talking. There's personal, and then there's being Yitzchak. Says Rav Shisha Pinkus, we have to make the concept of Zevulun and Yisachar personal. We have to view it like the Maisa many, many years ago. There used to be a matzav in Europe where the locals supported the poor people that were sitting and learning in the local shtibel. And everybody would divvy up the meals to give. The problem was it was the blind leading the blind, because the people supporting were just as poor as the people receiving. And there was a lady that had 8 children. There were 3 prushim, 3 people sitting and learning in the shul. It was her day to give bread. She only had 8 slices. So she sliced that loaf into 12 that day in order to, or 11, in order to give out 8 plus 3. She didn't give them any less than she gave her own children. And when she was questioned about it, she said, what do you mean? Today I have 11, not, I have 11 children, not 8. It wasn't shot, but first let me make sure I take care of my family and make sure everybody has everything, and then I'll take a look at the count, I'll see what's available, and I'll give it. Says the Shusha Pinkus that's the first victory of the Yetzer Hara, and then it's downhill after that. So even if you do part with your money and you give to the yeshiva, you give to the Talmid Chacham, you give to the Ani, but it's like almost like I'm doing him a favor. As opposed to it being, what do you mean, he's doing you a favor? Because you have to be doing this. It's you a chelik. You don't complain when, I mean, we do complain, that's the truth. But say the same thing is, when your son comes home and he needs to eat, you put food on the table. It's no less important than when you're supporting that ani, says the Shishim Pinkus. Make it personal. If you make it personal and you make it real, so automatically, the whole dynamic towards the concept is going to be different. Now, the MS is, yeah?
That seems to be contradictory to another concept, which is the closer someone is to you, the more, the greater is your gift to give to them.
Correct. And you might give that person first, the one who's closer to you, but your feelings have to be, oy, him also. It's a feeling. It's, of course, if you have this amount, that's what Rosh Hashanah is, work on that. If you could work on that, and the truth of the matter is, if you really think about it, it's something that we could work on in a little bit different way. I'll tell you how this is the Indian that we ended off with in Chinuch. We all have, let's face it, we all have things that we're unsure about in the same way. For example, we don't know the future. You don't know the future, just like I don't know. Maybe I learned 10 minutes more than you today. Maybe you did 10 minutes more mitzvahs than me today. But the thing that we're even in is we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Okay, I have a son and daughter. You have a son and daughter. We all have children. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow with them, says the Chofetz Chaim. There's no way for us that we daven very hard. We try to put them in a mezgeret that's going to be good for them. We try to create chaverim. We do everything we possibly can to set up a good matzah. But says the Chofetz Chaim, do we really know what's going to be? He says, unfortunately, we see tens of thousands that are not going on derech haTorah. All over the place. They're going all over. In the times of the Haskalah, and nowadays also. There's so many things that are drawing people away from Torah. So says the Chofetz Chaim, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? There are certain things that happen you can't even control. So this is what we said last week. The Chofetz Chaim says that you want to lock in, secure your chelik in the next world. So you have to view everything you're doing as a personal investment. Sometimes it's with your child. Sometimes it's with Yenim's child. It doesn't make Yenim's child more important, but sometimes you're going to get more money, more bang for your buck investing over there, says the Chofetz Chaim. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. The Chofetz Chaim's Lashon is, if you want to know exactly his Lashon, it's an amazing Lashon. But he says that sometimes you're going to do better over there. If you see a matzah that's vadai, hatzlacha, put your investment there. Avadi, you got to set up a mezgeret for your own children, but you don't know what's really going to be. You can't know. You know. I'll tell you a medrash that will send a good example. I wasn't going to say this. A medrash says in Shirim Kehelas, it says Toiv Shem Mishem and Toiv Yem Amavis Miyem Yivolda. Shem, Shemen. Toiv Shemen Mishemen Toiv. The Shemen oil is better than a Shemen Toiv. And V'yoyim HaMoves, V'yoyim HaVolta, right? So V'yoyim HaMoves, the day of death, is better than the day of birth. And the question obvious is, L'chari should be the other way around. That's the question on the Medrash. And the Medrash says, I'll tell you a marshal. This marshal, he explains that pasuk, and it'll answer your question as well. He says that you have a guy who, from a faraway land, let's say, he comes and he's at the shore in Ashdod, where all of the boats are coming in. And there are some boats that are leaving. And he sees a group of people, and they see a boat on the horizon, making its way towards the shore. And right away, this group starts clapping and yelling and cheering. They're jumping out of their skin from happiness. And the guy's standing there, he's looking, and he sees another boat that's departing. And there's a couple of people over there waving. Some have tears in their eyes. He sees this and he doesn't understand it. He goes over to somebody and he says, I don't understand. These people are leaving you now. They're right here. You should be making a big shebang for them because they're right here. They see you. They hear you. And let them leave with those good feelings. And you'll part from them with those good feelings. And this is the time to rejoice. Those people, they don't even see you yet, let alone hear you. They're so far out. You're jumping up and down like you're a mishugana. What's going on over here? It should be the other way. This group should be by this boat, and this group should be by this boat. So the guy says to him, yeah, but you got it all wrong. Let me explain to you what's going on over here. This boat is leaving on its way. We don't know what will be tomorrow. We don't know if this boat will sink, if it will run into a storm, if we will ever see these people again. It's with tremendous pachad that we're departing from them and they're leaving us. We don't know. And therefore, we can't rejoice and jump up and down. We can wave goodbye, give them a hug and kiss, and we can daven and hope in our heart that we see them again. That boat, however, left 6 months ago. We see it coming back, but that means we know it made it. Yeah, they don't see us yet, but we're not dancing for them. We're dancing for us, because when they left 6 months ago, we didn't dance. We were scared and we were crying. Says the Medrash Toiv, Yom HaMoves V'Yom HaVoldoi, is because when the person passes away, and you get to take a look if he did what he was supposed to do with his time in this world, then there's a tremendous amount to rejoice for. But Yitzchak L'Yom HaAcharon, because he started off, he went through all of the turbulence and came out with children, Bnei Torah, from Erech Yidin, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should make a Simcha Gedolah, Suda Gedolah. How many people come into this world and don't make it? And they don't have such success. And they don't have the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the nephews, the nieces, and the cousins, all trying to perpetuate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and continue that chain, that link, be another link from Sinai. And so many, maybe even most of them. So Melu Yema Moves Meyema Voltai, because then you take stock and you realize, hey, he made it to the finish line. That means that everything here, we have to be a little bit selfish in locking in and securing our Yom HaAcharon. So if you get that from your Karov, get it. Grab it. Hold it, b'shtei yadayim, don't let go. It says the Chafetz Chaim, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes what ends up happening is that it doesn't happen, and what ends up happening is you fall apart, you give up. His lashon is, I just read his lashon. Okay, the da, the eitz toiv zu amur b'kor kol oid l'kama sugi anoshim shem inim tzvis. The people who have children, But still, va'ava pikin lo yadif mehem, va'adar ba'guruyim mehem. Why? Because going to Yisrael bonim she'sor miderech ha'torah rachman alatzah. And if you mash a matzah ba'min yisrael ram she'hocham l'din she'chogis, you find that there's so many times that you can't control everything. So you could decide to, okay, close up shop, I give up. Hashem, goodbye. Or you could at least say, you know something? Let me at least hop around what I could. I want to make sure I go to the next world with my chiluk. I didn't choose. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. Okay, so let me go choose my investment that I could get. Now, it's a hard concept because we are emotionally attached to our kids. Someone comes over and starts up with our kid, will break his head. We don't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and we're just a bunch of puppets who's pulling the strings. We're supposed to be taking care of the Bikadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. Nothing more, nothing less. But we get very connected. From time to time, we let HaKadosh Baruch Hu have something to do with him. Like, okay, we'll do you a favor. That's what happens. We become very possessive. But the Gedolim teach us not like that. Now, we don't want to be put in their nishanis. We dive in Lolli De Nisoyin, Lolli De Vizoyin. What some of these Gedolim could go through is amazing. Is amazing. You could have the Chavetz Chaim have one of his children die, and you see him making a suda because now he's able to say, most people crack up from such a thing. And if they don't crack up, at least they barely survive. The Chavetz Chaim used that as a method to grow. Then now he could say, I love Hashem with all my heart. I used to have to split it between my son and Hashem. Now I can give it all to Hashem. Now, who could do that? You read about these stories of the Rishonim, the Achronim, but the people that lived just 70, 80, 100 years ago. And that's the amazing thing that we see, unfortunately, with the passing of some of our Hainte Gedolim that we went into. We shook their hand. We heard them speak. Our Gedolim that lived in our generation, that just were matonis from a previous generation, and they went through such trials and tribulations in their lives, and to use everything as an opportunity to grow, that we see from that in 2011, it's possible too. It was possible in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Hashem Elokecha Bat Pashit, it was possible in Lucerne in Switzerland, was possible in America. And you think even the trade from Medina like America, and look what happened. Tremendous, tremendous Messias Nevesh, the Torah, from someone that you could have a conversation with, and he was like your grandfather, or your great-grandfather. That's what the Rishon Lishiv tells us, that's what they were. They showed us that, you know something, it's doable today. Now, all of this is in order to lock in what we want, that we should be in the category of called a machzik Torah, like the Gemara says. We want to be in that category, where the Gemara says that called a machzik Torah, Hashem Yisrael Monas, Rei Machzik Torah, Einloi Monas. And the only way that Tzayach to pull that off, only way, L'chayra, is like the technique of our Shimshon Pinkus says, with the Hasaga of what the Chavetz Chaim says, is make it personal. And remember, keep all your options open. And that will take care of what you're asking. Because if you're able to take care of Aniye Ircha quote, and that, but let's say you're in a place and there ain't no Aniye Ircha. What do you do then? You still want to have the mitzvah of giving to the Aniyim, so you go to a different Ani. Even if it's not Ircha. Why? Because you're not doing it for Ani's sake. You're doing it for your sake. You don't want to come up after you're 20. You never gave it any. Hashem, you didn't send any to my block. I live on Sarek and you didn't give me any. You expect me to blow it if I am? Forget about it. No. It's the way it works. That's because your brother said, no. You don't have any in your block. Go to the next block. It has to be something you want to do. It has to be, I want to do chesed. I want to do tzedakah. I want to support Torah. I want to support Torah. I want to be a chelik of Torah. I want Torah to be named after me. And I saw the Yod V'Shem, the Beisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in his house, there'll be Shalom Yikares. It'll never get cut off, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says. Why? Because of Machzikim Bebrisi. if you machzik in the bris of HaKadosh, which is the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees you eternal reward. That's amazing. Now the Gemara continues. Let's go back to the Gemara because I want to make sure we always cover ground. An interesting thing. Shol u'minin es Rebbe Yehoshua Gamliel. The minin, which is apikursin, went over to Rebbe Gamliel. And now he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechayim eshem. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechayim eshem? So Amalehem, so Rebbe Gamliel answered, "In a Torah, in a Avim, in a Tshuva." I'll tell you a raya from Torah and Avim and Tshuva. But v'lo kibbul mimenu, and they weren't makabel. He gave him a raya from each one, and they weren't makabel. Now, just as a quick caveat, understand that not everybody is able to deal with apikursin. Rebbe Gamliel was able to handle himself in the ring. If you're not able to handle it. And the reason why is because people become influenced from them also. And they start questioning, wait, knock the hell. And that's what happens. And Mamelu, therefore, you gotta know, don't take a ride from Gamaliel that anybody else could do it. And another thing you should keep in mind is that the Gemara tells you right away, even though Gamaliel was talking, they weren't ready to accept. Why? Because they're not coming to accept. They're coming to argue with you. If they're coming to argue, you're never going to be successful. You're never going to be successful.
So why do you attempt?
What?
Why do you attempt?
Oh, because the Gemara is going to say at the end, he was able to get them to be shoysik. That means that these three riots he didn't agree with. But from the conversation, and Galil ended up getting them to get on board, according to one lesson in the Gemara, on part of it, and according to one lesson in the Gemara, on the whole thing. At the end of the Gemara, he's going to end up winning out. But what we're showing you is that it took 4 or 5 tries. Now, the truth of the matter is, I can't answer you for Rabbi Akiva, but it could very well be that this concept of what do you mean? I'm saying something, a davar shel, you're a min because no one ever explained it to you. But if I explained it to you, you wouldn't be a min. So it could be Rabbi Leo felt, right, you're a min, okay, cool, could be, but let me see, let me try. In other words, he doesn't know that he's not going to be successful. He won't be successful until he tries. I don't know. Your question, I think, is better than the answer. But the Gemara does come out at the end that he got them. I don't know what happened to those minim. The Gemara doesn't tell us. But it shows at the end, 5-10 lines down, he's going to end up having a response to them that they're not going to have a comeback. So we'll see in the Gemara. So, but the Gemara goes now to bring 3 rayas. You're going to go rest, you're going to pass on, but your forefather, come, and you'll get up. And the pasuk doesn't end with come. The pasuk says, come, it says that the nation is going to go and stray. But the Gemara makes a derush that since it says the word of come right afterwards, so we darshan out that you'll get up, meaning there'll be tchias amesim. So the Havamina is that this Jewish is the words are written right next to each other. You can make that connection. So Amulay, but don't overcome Amazev. So they slugged that one easy. They said, yeah, don't put the comma there. Put the comma at the end of the pasuk. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get up. It means that this nation is going to get up and go off the derech. So you'll ask, so what was this Havamina? Okay, it's a very good question. That will be a little bit more of a technical response, but that is that we're permitted to make drushes from the way the words are set up. It's more of a technical issue in the rites in learning Gemara. If we have a Kabbalah, that if the words are written next to each other, they could also connect, even though there's a context that it continues going on. But without getting into the technical aspect, this is what Rabbi Kiva said to them, Rabbi Gamaliel said, and this is what they responded. Okay? Got it? He said, from it says, in the Sheikh Al Azir, become? So he said, no, but the rest of the book says what become is going on. Okay? Now you have to realize that the Marsha brings down, even on the Gemara before, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the land, he said, I'll give Akimoshi Brisi Isam, Glossis Lahem, Aseret Kanan. The Marsha says, really, that could have been going, it says Lahem and Lo Lochem. And that's the Raya was talking about from Yisrael Yaakov. Says the Masha, really, it's not so pashit, because Lahem could have been going on Klal Yisrael. And he brings a Raya. But he says at the end, but since it's talking in the context of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, so you're right, it could mean that, but it also could mean that. So in other words, when it comes to the way to make to darshan out of pasuk, it's not always black and white. There's room to move, it seems. befraught with these Gemaras. So therefore, we're not going to get into the technical, what was Rabbi Akiva thinking, and what were they responding, but Mitzvah for next week, I'll try to research a little bit better, because there is an akuda here that he was trying to send a message to them that they didn't want to pick up on. And we'll see if we could narrow in on that. But let's see all three. Okay? You have a couple more minutes? Yeah?
Does the rest of the pasuk make sense, though, if you punctuate it that way? Mm-hmm. And does it need to?
No. Read the pasuk.
I did.
Okay. So, but that's we'll discuss. We have a Kabbalah. You could darshan out like that. A lot of times you find in the Gemara where the Gemara could darshan a pasuk here and a pasuk there. It has the same word. But what's the shaykhis? Oh no, it was a Kabbalah I got from my Rebbe. We got from Israel. That this pasuk and this pasuk go together, because it really could have said a little different word. It didn't have to say v'kam. It could have said v'ola or umbezano. Could have said a different, but if a come is coming to tell you, it's a double entendre, it's coming to tell you a second thing, that also, and you also get up, that means you'll also see what happened, so to speak. So like, there's always that extra nuance that we'll try to do some more research in Mitzvah Hashem, to get it, the nail on the head in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, and then the pasuk says, Menanavim, then he tried Menanavim, they say, Yechiu meisecha nevalti yekuma nekitzu branu shech neofar kital oiris tloecha v'eretz reform tapo. This is talking about that the nation, which is an avela, will get up, nekitzu branu, and they'll sing praise kital oirecha tlecha v'eretz reform tapo. And we see from there also a lashon of this one psukim that they say at the end of Levayis when people do a spadim, as a lashon to say, and the nation will get up and we'll have a tchisa nation. So the Gemara wants to say, so Mela, we want to see from here the concept of Kriya Samesim. So the Gemara says, V'duma Mesim Shachai Yecheskel. And Rashi explains that this is really talking about, that Yeshayah was talking, this is before Yecheskel. He was saying Yecheskel was going to have this matzah. But not that all the people were going to have Kriya Samesim, but that he would create a matzah of Kriya Samesim. Again, a back and forth. Well, next week we'll try to explore the Tzad HaShava of these three. I want to just go all three. Next week we'll try to go over what the Tzad HaShava of all three was and how the Minim slugged it up. Because at the end, the Minim are not going to agree with these three, because the answer seemingly is right there. It's like when Galil set them up. He said it knowing they were going to answer. Okay? Now, I have my own hypothesis I'll share with you. I don't know if I'm dead wrong or if I'm maybe right. I'll share it with you, and then we have to research it. But let's just do another two on like Suvin Diksiv, Achichich, Kiyayin, Atoiv, Hilch, Doidil, Meshurim, Doidil, Sifse, Yeshurim, and the lips will speak of the ones that are sleeping. So therefore, you want to learn out from there that they must be coming back alive. So the Mori answers, no, but Dilma Ruchushim, Machachshim, so is it maybe just the lips are gonna move. Like it says, Kedir Rabbi Yochanan, Dabar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishumim, Mishumim, Yitzadik, Kol Mishenimra, Halacha Bishmai, Ba'il Mazeh, someone who said Halacha in the name of someone in this world, Sivsayisav Devais Bekever. The lips of that person are moving in the Kever, Shenimra, Devais Sivsayishanam. So what do we see? We see that every time Rabbi Gamaliel said something, and this is the Raya that Hashem does Chizmai, right away, it came and they knocked it out. Right away. It's amazing. And then the Gemara says, until he got to the next pasuk, until he got to the Ad she'omelem mikrozeh asher nishba Hashem aviseichem v'seis lohem, same pasuk we had before the two dots, lohem lohinem el lohem mikam l'chis ameisim in HaTorah. So what do we see? Until he came to this pasuk, and this pasuk they didn't have a response to. Because this is clear. Now we have a problem, two problems. First of all, what was back and forth with the first three cases? What was Galil trying to say? When he was setting them up, the answers were very clear what they were going to respond. And then he says this, which they don't have an answer to. What do you mean? Marshall told us a very nice answer. Let him be going on Klal Yisrael. And yet they didn't answer that. So I wanted to hypothesize on my own, and maybe what you do is when you're trying to deal with these kind of people, the negotiation tactic is, you throw them out things that you know they're going to pounce on. And then you throw them that curveball, which they can't pounce on. And you get them. And Galil set them up, and then he said what he knew they wouldn't respond to. But I thought like that until I saw the Marsha. When the Marsha shows me on the Gemara before that there's really a Kasha even on that Gemara, if the Min wanted to be a Min, he would have asked that Kasha too. You know, it's not such a far off kasha, any more far off than the first, than the three here. So therefore, we want to do a Mirat Hashem next week on these three. Is what was the nekuda that Rabbi Gamliel was trying to drive home to them, and what was the nekuda that they were coming back with? Now, just to leave you with where I'm thinking is that Rabbi Akiva was takadum what you said, maybe. He didn't think they were going to really listen. He didn't think they were going to listen. So that wasn't the thing. He was just saying, whatever pasuk I say, you're going to answer him. So I'm not going to bother with you. Sort of. I'm wondering if maybe that might be a malach. But let's research it. And Misha, for next week, we'll have a yesoid and what it means, and what he was trying to teach them, and the lesson that we can learn. The lesson that we can learn is that a person has to always be prepared to yes hear, because otherwise it's a very thin line. So many times we're told different things, and really? And we don't realize we're falling into the min's trap. That's what the min was doing. Every time Galil said something, they said, really? That's what it means. And so many times in our lifetime, in our day-to-day life, there are things that come up, we hear about a psak or something, and right away we think in our mind, we roll our eyes and say, huh? I don't get that one. And we don't realize that, hey, maybe there's parts to the story that we're not getting. So Mr. Shem will be my ayin. Mr. Shem, to get it close.